This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy weekend. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:06 and your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. No. And eat Pop-Tarts. And people ask, Bob, where do you come up with the random stuff that you talk about? I don't come up with it.
No.
It is what it is.
It's real life, yeah.
We're just eating strawberry Pop-Tarts with a little bit of frosting on it.
Mm-hmm. Sprinkles.
And I hope you enjoyed it, Greg.
I did.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
That's my gift to you.
Yeah, and I'll take it. It is one of my top two favorites. I kind of vacillate between. I love the chocolate fudge with the sprinkles on top and the icing and the strawberry. With the icing and the sprinkles on top.
Brown sugar cinnamon. That's my go-to. That's my number one. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. That's,
brown sugar.
I'd probably put that at 3 or 4 for me. It's on the top for you, yeah.
It's number one for me.
There you go. But thank you.
Do you have a specific way that you eat your Pop-Tart? Because I do.
Well, as far as... you mean as in maybe heated or not? Or
if
as
it's
in
heated,
direction?
I nibble around the edges, waiting for the lava-like substance in the middle to cool off just enough.
That's
maybe
smart.
Cool down to at least magma level.
Yes.
and then I dig in. And so you get the crust, which you're just happy to have a little nibble, even though it doesn't have the full flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
you're
warm.
Eating something, and you're kind of getting it out of the way so that the rest that you have is real meaty, so to speak.
See, I think people who are not the connoisseurs of the Pop-Tarts the way we are, I just don't know what they're missing out on.
God, pray for them.
Well, they don't know, Bob. They don't know.
Better to live in that, I guess, that blissful ignorance than to discover the awesomeness of the Pop-Tart.
Oh, but yeah, you did these just right. They're just warm enough.
Thank you, sir.
A little crispy.
I have a servant's heart. I could barely say that. I'm just kidding, Lord. I know I have a long way to go. Hey, Maria Shriver. You haven't heard from her lately, right? You know, she's a Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she is not real happy about recent news.
Uh-oh.
President Trump was pretty happy about it. Apparently, he was surprised and honored that they've renamed the Kennedy Center. Oh, my gosh. The Donald J. Trump and John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts.
I love it.
Now, it's interesting because you know that he had a lot to do with fixing the place up, both financially, you know, their internal workings and the building itself.
Right.
He did do a lot. But, you know, he put a few of his friends in there on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he is chairman of the board.
Right.
So they're having this naming thing, which you know is a big deal. They're renaming it. And yet he was surprised?
Well, maybe they just wanted to have a nice little fun thing for the chairman. You know, maybe possibly could have happened.
I mean, how far do you have to go to rub the lefties the wrong way?
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't have to go very far.
No.
Maria Shriver slammed President Trump on Thursday after the Kennedy Center's board voted unanimously to rename the institution to the Trump Kennedy Center. And it couldn't even be the Kennedy Trump Center.
Right.
Trump's not going to put his name second on anything. Accusing him of trying to attach his name to a memorial dedicated to her uncle, President John F. Kennedy. Shriver, high-profile member of the Kennedy family, said it is beyond comprehension to change the center's name, accusing Trump of staining JFK's legacy in art, culture, and education. Is beyond comprehension that this sitting president has sought to rename this great memorial dedicated to President Kennedy, she wrote on X. Is beyond wild that he would think adding his name in front of President Kennedy's name is acceptable. It is not.
Now, I get that from a family perspective, but as far as if any other Democrats say anything, I say shut up, because you would not even accept John F. Kennedy as a Democrat today, because y'all have gone so Looney Tunes that he would not be considered good enough to be a Dem these days.
Well, and I doubt that Maria Shriver is going to admit to that, but I would say that politically, they actually policy-wise were pretty close.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He believed in lower taxes and a good economy lifts all ships and things like that. These are some basic principles that have been abandoned clearly by the Democrat Party, but ones that have been pushed forward and adopted certainly by Republicans and Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
But I mean, who couldn't see the blowback coming on that one?
Absolutely. Yeah. Although I hear she's actually a pretty nice person as far as. You know,
have you met her?
Well, no, my brother Richard was, when he worked for NBC in Burbank, was like two or three desks down from her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to work with and all that. But, you know, that's a family thing. And I can see why she'd be defensive.
And I do not know her at all. But if I had to guess, I would say she probably is intelligent, very bright,
yes.
Very cordial.
Yeah.
A person that behaves, in a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I think that she also may possess... just a little bit of a temper, and that you wouldn't want to be on her bad side. It's just a feeling I get. I don't know her, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That she would not, hold back too much.
You think even the governor might have been a little scared of her? Is what you're saying.
Apparently not, the way he behaved.
Well,
he wasn't afraid of any blowback there.
Did I say
blowback?
I hadn't thought about it that way.
Mm. Anyway.
Boy, that kid looks like him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some things you can deny in life, and some things you can't.
Well, and they're not. They're not anymore. They're not. It's all out in the open. You know, there's, that's a good thing, actually. You know, people misbehaved in the past. They misbehave today and probably will in the future. Nobody's perfect. Don't throw stones.
Right.
But to take the stigma out of some of these situations, I think is the most important thing, because the adults are the ones that acted like idiots. The kids should never suffer as a result of that.
I agree with that.
And by removing some stigmas, perhaps, it'll be an easier go. I mean, remember the term bastard. I mean, that was like...
Oh, yes.
Back in the day, you never heard that used anymore.
No, you were just kind of excommunicated from anything. I mean...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you were as the child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't really belong to any family, kid. Yeah, no, it was... tough back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Australia, they're getting real tough now.
Oh, no.
Really? Tough on what? Oh, hate speech. And also in gun laws.
Okay.
What exactly are they going to do that could prevent the shooting that occurred? Terrible and tragic and awful in many ways, but the man had those guns actually legally.
Uh-huh.
And... If you set out and you were going to do a heinous crime where you're going to shoot as many people as you can, I don't think you're worried about the law anyway. So, even if he had those guns illegally, I mean...
It wouldn't have mattered.
No.
Well, take it a step further. Let's say they didn't have guns in Australia. Does that mean people don't get killed by people who want to kill them, even in mass? No, they come up with other ways. They're creative that way.
There was, a famous Hollywood personality and his wife were murdered recently in Brentwood, and a gun was not used to murder two people. It was a knife, allegedly, at the hands of their son. Of course, I'm talking about the Reiner family. Terrible, tragic thing, but... Yeah, point being made there is when people are in a mindset of to, hurt, kill, destroy, whatever, they're going to find ways in which to do that, unfortunately. So, yeah, but they're going to get tough on hate speech. And I always wondered, who's going to be the judge on hate speech?
Right.
You know, how far can you go? And they go, everything you said up to that point, that's okay. This part here is hate. Oh, and then what you said afterwards was maybe not. We don't like it, but technically we won't call it hate. I mean, where are they going with that?
Well, I'm the same way with a hate crime. Oh, they killed. It was a hate crime because the person was a minority. Okay, so I'm a white Irish dude. Am I any less dead if somebody intentionally kills me? Why should there be a difference? The intent was to kill me. Okay. If your intent is to kill a minority, the intent is still there. Why should there be a scale? You know, why is it not as bad if they killed the white Irish kid here?
Yeah.
I can see that.
And the hate speech thing, I don't want there to be laws about that. I mean, one of the best ways to figure out who somebody is, let them talk.
Yes.
Let them talk.
Good point.
And then I will have an idea what that person may be all about.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I need to know.
And depending on who's in charge, now somebody else is in charge of hate speech.
Yeah,
and it's going to flip back and forth, and you don't know where you are.
I wonder if AI knows what hate speech is.
We'll get about 7 different answers, I'm sure.
8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. Look, we know you're busy. We make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast. Have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart. You just hit subscribe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good job on the tambourine there, Bob.
Yeah, but I'm not... Look, I don't like it when they just do the musical versions, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
I think it's a concerted effort, once again, on the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to say, the Savior, Christ the Child was born. You don't have to say all these wonderful things that are very much, the song.
Yeah.
I don't like that, and I think there is a concerted effort to try to take Jesus out of Christmas.
I agree with everything you said in this, with the intent, except when it comes to certain songs, because it's done by an orchestra.
Yeah.
And orchestras play instruments. They don't sing.
You can sing and have orchestral backing.
You could.
Okay.
You could, but some people tour and do songs as an orchestra, much like the Mannheim Steamroller.
Right. And but they're not... Well, they play, do they play the classics? They play their own stuff, right? I guess they do some classics.
But I think of them more for Christmas than anything else.
Well, true.
So.
True.
Which
all
I guess Rush kind of made them famous.
Ali Roo?
What?
Remember, Ali Oop. Remember that's when you throw the ball up? You know what Ali Roo is?
No clue.
The tallest kid playing college basketball in the world.
Oh, okay.
For the University of Florida.
Oh, see,
you don't know about Oliver Roo?
I was thinking Alley-Oop and Christmas songs. I was trying to put it all together.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
I made the transition without telling you.
Yeah, Bob transitions right here on the show in front of all of us.
Yeah. I might have to get a man's ear now. Or a bro. Remember that, Seinfeld? Remember that one? They were talking about man boobs.
Oh, yeah.
The man's ear or the bro.
And you'd carry
those were their two working names as they were working and scheming of this new.
It's like carrying a merse, a man purse, that kind of thing.
Watch it now.
I'm not talking about your fanny pack.
Okay.
I'm not talking about your fanny pack.
I was going to say, don't draw blood,
Everybody
Cassidy.
Else does, but
don't draw blood today.
I was.
It's supposed to be joy to the world, pal.
Yeah.
Which Betsy was singing that Three Dog Night song.
Joy to the world.
You know, Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Yes.
Was a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And we all sang that as songs. And it's, but he helped me share my wine. I'm thinking,
hey,
we're telling kids to be drinking wine and hanging out with frogs.
That's quite a trip.
It kind of is.
It probably was.
Yeah, probably was based on that. Yeah. Anyway, here is your headline. World's tallest teen, Oliver Roo, makes college basketball history in Florida win. Do you know how tall he is, Greg?
No, but probably very.
7'9".
Oh, my
goodness. 7'9".
We would look like little kids.
I mean, when you meet someone who is 6'9", most of us say, oh, he's pretty tall.
Yeah.
And he's a full foot.
Wow.
Taller than that.
That's crazy.
And so the team, the Gators, they won big over St. Francis. This was Wednesday night, 102-61. So, yeah, we were on a roll, so to speak. The Canadian phenom, already a fan favorite, entered the game in the final 2 minutes. See, he hasn't gotten a chance to score any points yet.
Gotcha.
You know?
Okay.
He's still developing, shall we say? But the crowd was yelling for him. We want Ollie.
Nice.
We want Ollie. With 43 seconds left, Rue caught a bounce pass from teammate C.J. Ingram and dunked. And when he dunks, Greg, he's one of the few people that can dunk.
Uh-huh.
And his feet only leave the ground by about an inch and a half.
There's a visual.
Yeah. It's like, ain't a lot of air there.
Uh-uh. Don't need it.
Of course, you don't need it. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And so, anyway, the crowd went wild. And it actually became the tallest player in college basketball history to make a field goal. So, I guess he hasn't been the tallest overall, but the tallest one to score points. So, anyway, the coach, Todd Golden, he was all excited. Pretty special man. His transition, the vertical, woo, he was up there, man. Yeah, he was up there. But... it's like he has a standing vertical. That's more than what most people can do in terms of a vertical, period. But anyway, everybody was excited about it. I think everybody had a good time, obviously. And go Gators. Oliver Rue. He's only 19. 7'9".
That's crazy.
I'm glad he's on our team. Because wasn't, if he was playing for someone else's team, I'd say, that's not fair.
Oh,
hey, that's not fair, man. All right. Christmas memory for you. All right.
Okay.
Which one should I do? Let me start with this. I was trying to think of, you know, my favorite gifts that I received from Santa back in the day. Hot Wheels and a BB gun. Those seem to be the highlights that I can at least think right now.
That's a great combo my memory. Right there.
But I do have to share this story, and it's funny. You know, there comes a certain age where we kind of know, you know, Santa's got a big job.
Yeah.
And you know, occasionally maybe, you know, the parents help Santa, one might say. And I can remember one night, and, it, you know, it's we, you know, you go to bed, all right, kids, time for bed and all that. Well, you know, my dad worked different hours generally anyway. Mm-hmm. He worked the afternoon shift most of my life. And so for him to be up a little bit later, you know, with my mom, you know, they're having their little, maybe a little happy hour. Not every night, but, you know, once in a while. Now it's the holidays. So, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to sleep. I'm amped up out of my skull.
Of course.
And I think they might have had like one more cocktail than normal.
Oh, no.
And you could hear them huffing and puffing, dragging presents all over the house, coming from the basement. It's like, I almost felt like, should I help them?
No, you should.
But that's just one of those memories.
Wow.
And then my sister and I, of course, you know, we chuckled about it the next morning because she heard the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that last night? She asked me. Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah. But we didn't hear no Santa Claus, so we just heard Mom and Dad moving stuff around.
And then there's the idea that, you know, Santa Claus treats different families differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some he, like, wraps every present.
And signs it
But
Santa?
With our house, I think we signed off on, you don't need to do that for us.
Yeah.
You just leave them, you know, right there under the tree.
Uh-huh. That's cute.
8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Christmas, happy holidays, and before you know, it's going to be a happy new year, we hope. 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you think there are, I mean, what do you think the age is where the cutoff to hearing Frank Sinatra sing and knowing that's Frank Sinatra? I mean,
right.
Very distinct.
Oh, yeah.
But let's be honest. I mean, it's been a few years. It's been a hot minute.
Well, his last hit, as and it was kind of a out of nowhere, was My Way.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
I think it was the 70s. Because Elvis did it in 77, so he did it first. Because it was written for Sinatra by Paul Anka. And so so you got to figure, just by age, if his last radio song was in the 70s, how old or young
do you
have to
be? I mean, how many singers come out, they're like, hey, yo, jingle bells, jingle bells, I'm the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
Very distinct.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was not a fan, I have to say.
Because of his singing or because of his supposed
ties? No, just the singing. He doesn't really sing.
I didn't want to use
really singing.
The M word,
is what my dad would say.
I don't want to,
Yeah.
I don't want concrete shoes or nothing,
No.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Especially if they take you swimming in them. That's when they really become a problem.
Yeah, that seems to be the pattern.
Wow. Yeah. Are you saying things that are like anti-Italian-American?
Not
over
a bit.
There?
Oh, no.
Listen, Paisan.
Oh, listen, there's nothing more fun of an interaction of Don Rickles having fun with Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
They're just
classic stuff.
Classic bits.
Again, are they disappearing or do the kids know to go to YouTube and look for these clips?
See, I think they're missing out. I've tried to introduce a few young people to Don Rickles and the original roasts, not these foul mouth, disgusting things they do for artists now. Back when you could still have fun, and Don Rickles, and I actually saw him live once. He was the time I went to the Tonight Show. He was the fill-in guest. We were talking about Maria Shriver earlier. She and the governor were supposed to be there, and kids were sick or something.
Ooh.
And Rickles was Johnny's call to, hey, I need a fill-in. And he'd get escorted over, and he would fill in. So, I think there's a lot of fun entertainment out there that kids just don't know about, I think.
No.
And I think it's good for them to learn it.
Yeah. I mean, just to know, I mean, the distinct voice of Frank Sinatra, just so you could pick up on that.
Yeah.
When you hear it.
Okay. Since it's Friday, we're talking just everything. Can I give you a great...
Why don't you just take over, Greg?
No, a great Don Rickles Frank Sinatra story. So this is when Don Rickles was single, and he was having dinner at a nice restaurant. And he saw that Frank Sinatra was there, and so he excuses himself, goes by Frank, says, hey, Frank, I'm trying to impress this chick I'm having dinner with over here. So if you would, just come on by. She doesn't really think I know you.
I think I know where this is going.
Okay, good. So come on by the table and say hi. Okay, I'll do it. So a little while, Frank gets up, comes walking over. Hey, Don, how you doing? He's like, Frank, can't you see I'm having a date here? What are you doing trying to interrupt my dinner? I mean, it's like...
Frank's like, oh, walked into that one.
Yeah, big time.
Walked into that one.
Big time.
Should have known. It's Don Rickles.
It's Don Rickles.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah. Frank, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
I'm too busy to talk to you.
To you.
Yeah. That's funny. Hey, decorating the greenery, getting ready, or maybe celebrating, whatever's going on. But it looks like... maybe the greenery you might be decorating could be a giant marijuana tree.
Excuse me?
Yeah. This is funny. This is from Forbes, by the way.
Don't let that one catch on fire.
Today is a good day for potheads. That's how the article starts out, from Forbes.
Wow.
Today is a good day for potheads and a great one for the nation's state-regulated marijuana businesses. In a historic move, the federal government will reclassify cannabis to a more lenient category. Yep, and it was yesterday President Donald Trump signed an executive order directing U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi to move marijuana from Schedule 1, a category that's reserved for illegal drugs like heroin and LSD, to Schedule 3, which is used for drugs with accepted medical benefits and still have addiction potential, including like things like steroids, ketamine, and even Tylenol with codeine. Those are Schedule 3, apparently. And the biggest reason to do that, really, is so that they can do more studies on it. Marijuana has not been studied to the extent that it really should have been and could have been. They could have worked on this years ago and said, is there any real medicinal benefit to this?
Yeah.
Or what are the ups? What are the downs? The pros and cons? So on.
We've talked about that over the years because you've kind of felt it was a lacking of research because mm-hmm. nobody wanted to touch it.
Nobody wanted to touch a Schedule One, so yeah. you couldn't get universities to underwrite it. They couldn't get grants from anybody. Who's going to give you a grant for that? So, yeah. And I think it does need to be studied, both for its benefits and the fact that, look, there's some people that do not have a good reaction to it. I mean, they go into a psychosis. And you'd think that, you know, you had that happen to you once, that'd be it. But apparently that might not be the case.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is. It can be dangerous. You definitely can overdo it. But it can have some beneficial, some pain, helps with some pain, I think. And I think it's far less detrimental to most people than, say, being on opioids all the time. But at least this will open it up. This to me is kind of a common sense thing. But at the same time, we're starting to see some of these products related to marijuana. Maybe it might not directly be marijuana, but you know, these things that are, they're packaged, they're marketed in many cases toward young people, kids, that's wrong. And some of these substances, you know, have been altered to be where you can sell them, say, over the counter until they catch up to, to the laws catch up. I think some of this stuff is bad. And can be, depending on the person, you know, can be really bad. So, yeah, I think some work needs to be done there, in my opinion. I am a lot less open, I guess. Look, the libertarian in me says, let people, you know, pretty much do what they want. If they're of legal age,
right.
you know, let people do what they want as long as they don't harm others. But the other side of it is, you know, if we know something is dangerous, mm-hmm. at the very least, we've got to at least make sure that the public knows it and they're warned.
Well, and unfortunately, sometimes people who make the decision to drink, smoke pot, whatever, are not people who make good decisions in general.
Yeah.
So you look at the states like Colorado where, yeah, you've got drunk driving and now you've got high driving as a problem. You know, they're stoned and it is more of a risk. And as you know, we talked about the whole thing with Gainesville, you know, and that whole vote, you know, whatever, a couple of years ago. You smell it enough just walking across the grocery store parking lot. We don't need it anymore. It's just.
You just don't like it.
Well, I don't want to keep your habit at home. You shouldn't be, you know.
But I've heard you yelling at people, stop smoking the devil's salad. I've heard you say that.
And then I threw.
Did you ever hear that before?
And I threw holy water on them.
The devil's lettuce, I think, is what it is. The devil's lettuce.
I have never heard that.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I saw that recently on Facebook, and I thought that was pretty funny.
That is funny.
But anyway, here's the deal. It's not going to change its legality overall federally.
Right.
All right. So you still need to be, you know, aware of that. But it will definitely ease restrictions in terms of. You know, testing it and doing further research.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a win or a loss.
Well, if the research can be easier done, that's hopefully that will help. Maybe. Who knows?
I also heard where it's not going to necessarily change the penalty for being caught with it, let's say on the federal level, you know, because it's federal law. And then I thought that was kind of odd. So it would still be treated as a Schedule One, like you were carrying around heroin. And I think that there is a big difference there,
yeah.
I think. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And happy holidays, my friends. Welcome to it. No stress. Breathe. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
What were you breathing in over there, Bob?
Nothing. What do you know about frankincense?
And myrrh?
No, just frankincense.
No. Not a whole lot.
No?
No.
Most people don't.
Probably smells good.
We're trying to keep it secret.
Oh.
Because the world supply is dwindling.
Are you serious?
Totally.
Huh.
Have I ever looked more serious in my life?
Wow, that's a serious look.
Kind of gave you the Rock eyebrow, didn't I?
The Rock?
De Niro?
Yeah, little De Niro.
When we used to like him?
Yeah. Yeah, back before
he
was weird.
It is 8:50 on the Bob Rose Show, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is here. Welcome, welcome, my friends. Happy Friday. Frankincense is a fragrant, aromatic resin from the Boswellia tree, or the Boswellia. Used for a millennia in religious rites, perfumes, and traditional medicine. And this is where I heard about it recently, for its anti-inflammatory and grounding properties.
Really?
Often as an essential oil for aromatherapy, skincare, and wellness.
I give that.
But its over-extraction threatens its future. So I will share no more with you.
Well.
No frankincense for you.
There's a bit for you.
There you go.
That's funny.
All right. Speaking of medicine.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to stop mutilating the kids. It's not a bad thing. Hey, hip, hip, hooray for not mutilating children.
About time. I think that's a good thing.
Can you imagine the people like, yeah, mutilate the kids? That's what they're standing for. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration announced Thursday in a multi-departmental offensive to prevent hospitals from using pharmaceutical or surgical interventions to perform what they're calling sex-rejecting procedures on children under the age of 18. This will be headed up by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and, of course, the Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, these rules would also work to prevent the illegal marketing of medical devices such as breast binders.
Oh, my goodness.
To children for the purpose of treating gender dysphoria and to reverse the Biden administration's attempt to include gender dysphoria within the definition of a disability.
Chopping body parts off doesn't help gender dysphoria. It's a psychological problem, people. Come on.
But there are so many people who like want to have a dog in that fight. Like you really want this person to undergo these literally life-changing surgeries that are permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really, really want them to go through that when that may not cure the original reason that they went in to see the doctor or psychiatrist, which we know in many cases that's exactly what they were told.
Yep.
One came forward recently and was told when she was 15 years old and suffering from depression. They put her on the fast track for gender reassignment or whatever the flowery mm-hmm. term they try to use. But according to HHS claims data, nearly 14,000 minors received sex-rejecting procedures between 2019 and 2023. I remember when I mentioned this to somebody close to me that I appreciate their opinion, especially when it comes to medical stuff,
mm-hmm.
who did not believe me that children were given double mastectomies. Did not believe me.
How is that even possible? I mean, the evidence is out there. We know people that it's being had done to.
I think when I first brought it up,
yeah.
it was still new in the minds of a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it was happening. And I knew it, and it was happening at big hospitals.
But isn't it weird how people, sometimes leaning left, don't really want to believe these things? Because I remember when they lit up New York all pink because now you can like abort your baby all the way up to birth? I remember posting something about that, and a guy that I used to work with like, Greg, you know that's not true. They're not going to do that. I'm like,
what do you think?
Just look around. Do you pay attention to the people you vote for?
Right. No, they don't.
Same scenario. They're in denial.
Yeah. So anyway, HHS Secretary Bobby Kennedy, he signed off on this declaration Thursday. Things like puberty blockers, no. Cross-sex hormones, nope. Surgical operations do not meet professionally recognized standards of health care, and we will consider practitioners who provide such services out of compliance with the new standards. And I believe it was the healthcare system in Great Britain that I believe kind of jumped on this a little bit earlier. Of course, you know, it's a governmental healthcare system. So I guess the benefit of that is when the government says no, it's easy versus a lot of private practitioners, et cetera, you know, to institute rules. But yeah, they were ahead on this because they looked at it and said, hey, you're mutilating these kids. And a lot of them, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but a lot of them are don't feel any better emotionally than they did before, and that's why they went. They went for because of emotional issues, you know, depression related and things like that. And they found out that, well, this person's depressed no matter what body parts they have on them. You know,
imagine
I mean, if Mr. Potato Head is depressed, it doesn't matter if you put a mustache on him or not.
That's a good point.
You know, he's depressed.
Yeah.
No, I know. You can't even joke about it. It's sickening.
But it is.
And who would, who in the right mind with a conscience would say, yeah, I mean, I you know, I could see how this procedure, I mean, a double mastectomy on a child.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the other perverse things they do. I mean, when you start taking a someone who's been born a female and you start loading them up with testosterone, I'm not talking about medicinal levels where people are not producing it anymore.
Right.
We're talking about massive doses. And I doubt that they make it clear to the patients in many cases that this is a lifelong endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never produce testosterone because you never had testicles.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shortcut there. There's no way around it.
Mm-mm.
You're going to be on this for the rest of your life. And good. I'm glad the Trump administration did something about it. And maybe just even talking about it, more people will maybe gain some understanding that, yes, indeed, this absolutely was occurring. And just within a 4-year period, we know that 14,000 minors received some of these procedures. 14,000.
That's just crazy. And so wrong.
Did I mention it's the holidays?
Yes.
Peace on earth. Goodwill toward man and women and all the genders.
Yeah. Both of them.
It is 8:57. The Bob Rose Show podcast. Have every minute on demand, one place, free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. All you have to do is hit subscribe. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.